Obama Rodeo Clown Image Credit WND.com. Hosts Bill Hyde and Brian Brody uncorked the real news hovering around a performance by a rodeo clown at the Missouri State Fair. That's right, a rodeo clown, but not just any rodeo clown. This one is spurring a Secret Service investigation, and Bill and Brian beg the question of whether the investigation is merited or not. In an article by Tara Dottle titled, Opinion, Obama Rodeo Clown Critics Forgetting Past Presidential Jokes, Dottle asks why this event led to a call for an investigation when similar events in the past have not. Bill and Brian recap on this story, and in an in-depth conversation, they wonder if this investigation is really worth the taxpayer dollars. They even go as far as to cite previous exploits where the executive office was the punchline to a comedian's joke. What made this event so much different than events prior? Is the NAACP just searching for a story as the Zimmerman trial has come to a close? Or did the act more closely resemble a Klan rally, as fairgoer Perry Beam reported in a CNN interview? Off the Grid Radio, EP 170. Released August 15, 2013. Brian, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Off the Grid News, the radio version of offthegridnews.com. I'm Brian Brody here, as always, with Mr. Bill Hyde. Bill, how are you, sir?
Bill,
Brian, it's always good to see you. I'm great. Thanks for asking. So here, when you ask me how I'm doing, because I don't really think about how I'm doing it until you asked me. Then I think, oh, how am I really doing? What hurts? What medications should I be taking that maybe I forgot to take, and all of that. So thanks for asking. Brian, oh, you're a pretty naturally healthy guy. So I'm sure there's not a whole laundry list of medications that you have to take. I'm sure that's, you know, you get out. You work on the farm every day. There's all kinds of different things you do to stay healthy, so. Bill, I crawl between the rows of. People should know that when we. Our corns is coming in now, our sweet corn. So if you get by the heirloom, if you're in this, up this direction near the Mississippi River, stopped on the heirloom market here where we're headquartered in beautiful, sunny Thompson, Illinois. Have some sweet corn, because we crawled on our hands and knees. We don't spray. And so that's a whole other show and whole other argument, a whole other discussion about. We don't spray. So, what happens when you don't spray? And the answer is there's weeds everywhere. People that don't garden, people that garden, whoever. You all need to know that if you don't spray, there's weeds everywhere. So, what's that mean? You know, it means, a lot of dirt under your fingernails and a lot of growing around you. You can. We used to call that stoop labor. But it's probably some discrimination thing now. You can't say stoop labor or something. But we used to call it stoop labor. So, we're engaged to Hyde family, and others are very much engaged in the stoop labor here so we can get the sweet corn in. And a lot of us are just crawling on our hands and knees, Brian. So it's just great fun. You know what? I got to get you out there someday. Brian, I would love to, because I was going to tell you this.
Bill,
bring some tick spray. Brian, we're not. Was. When I was little, I used to hang out on the stoop. Is that not? Can I not use that word anymore?
Bill,
no, you can still say stoop. Brian, right? I mean, like our friend Porch. We hang out on the stoop.
Bill,
you can say stoop. You can't say stupid. Brian, all right.
Bill,
you can say stoop. You can say stoop. Brian, which can be short.
Bill,
for that, if you wanted to. But I mean, there's words that you can't say. Things that you can't even hint at anymore, lest you cross some kind of, you know, boundaries. They're almost like the boundaries that we drew up after World War II. You know, when you draw up, take countries and you carve them up. It doesn't always work out for the best, because people will do their very best to try to get back to the way their tribe or their church or their people were. So you put Germany up and you get problems with it all the way through the ball. Brian, so stoop is okay, though? It's still on our side of the Berlin Wall. Is what you can say?
Bill,
you can stoop all you want. Brian, okay, groovy. Which? You know, it's funny that you bring that up, because we want to talk today about a story. Hard to believe with everything going on in the world that there will no doubt be a congressional investigation. The FBI will be called in. I'm sure Secret Services has already been called in. There'll be all kinds of different governmental agencies from the federal and state level down to investigate a rodeo clown in the state of Missouri. So I'd like to think. Bill, I thought it was your.
Bill, state.
Brian, given your love of.
Bill, I thought you could show people anything there.
Brian, I guess so. Given your love of rodeos and rodeo clowns and your vast expertise in the field, I thought I would get you to comment a little bit on what the White House today is saying, not one of the finer moments in the state's history.
Bill,
well, I think that's debatable. And thanks for the rodeo clown setup, because I'll ask you not to talk about Princeton that way. I'll have you know. But.
Brian,
yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bill,
but. It's an amazing thing.
We've reached the point.
Now, I remember, did you go to rodeos when you were a kid?
Brian,
no, I grew up on Long Island. I was a little more of a geek kid running into tanks when I was a little kid. There's a lot of people that want this rodeo clown's head, literally. I bet I think he's banned from life, which, not to offend anyone from the great state of Missouri, but I can look at that as a bonus. Let me be honest with you, I'm banned from the fair for life. But a lot of people pretty fired up about this guy.
Bill,
I'd like to offer the guy a sign. Political a sign on here in Townsend, Illinois. At least, on our little 10 acres of ground that we have. At least he could go do it. He could be. He could impersonate you or me, if he wanted to. We wouldn't care. Do you remember? I mean, at least you understand rodeo clowns are in this for the comedy value that they are there to entertain, and using presidential mask has been sort of. I think if you go to rodeo clown school, one of the classes, we may have this class here for our fall festival on the 21st. Rodeo clown school, one of the classes is presidential mask.
Right.
Brian, that is wearing rain barrels, right? If I remember.
Bill,
rain barrels that's. Rain barrels one-on-one will be afternoon class.
Brian,
that's AF.
Bill,
yeah, right after one.
Brian,
let's get early. Classes are filling up. Jeremy said to me today.
Bill,
people fall asleep and you get hit by a bull. You know, with a barrel on and it tends to, you know, and you need less coffee.
Brian,
okay.
Bill,
but, yeah. Think about it. That is something that I remember going to. When I was young, we go to rodeos. And there was all kinds of, you know, chicanery, we'll call it. And I think that using a presidential mask was something that's always a part of it. I know probably if I had buck for every Bush mask that someone wore because Bush. People painted George W. Bush as a bit of a knucklehead, and so I think he was someone. And Jerry Ford was.
Brian,
Ford was all about.
Bill,
a knucklehead. Remember Chevy Chase and on all of the guys?
Brian,
sure.
Bill,
on Saturday Night Live at the time. So I think he is another guy that was probably rodeo clown bait. But Reagan got his.
Brian,
didn't Nixon? Wasn't Nixon one of the first ever?
Bill,
Nixon. Nixon got his, inaudible 006 and 13 seconds. He was.
Brian,
no thanks, I'm in sort of a rush. Remember that?
Bill,
it didn't quite have a Jimmy Durante nose, but he was pretty close.
Brian,
but not a crook.
Bill,
I have that. Brian, I want to hear your impression of Nixon saying, I'm not a crook.
Bill,
I am not a crook.
Brian,
that's not too bad.
Bill,
well, that's not all that good, really.
Brian,
that's not too good. Well, practice and then we'll go back and try it next week. So let me ask you.
Bill,
sure. Brian, two sides of the fence, was it shameful and unacceptable, as some are calling it? Or others, and I won't be surprised to know that some of the other side of the fence are calling it, a harmless gag. What do you think it was?
Bill,
it's a harmless gag and it's not even. Unless you want to make it. This is why we talk about presuppositions all the time in the show. What you think about the world, what's your worldview coming into something before you get a fact is an important thing. So facts, all facts, have to be interpreted right.
Brian,
yeah, sure.
Bill,
just should go without even having to say that.
Brian,
sure.
Bill,
that you. What does that mean? What does something mean? And so, facts Van Til used to say, you know, there are no brute facts because everything has to be interpreted. So if you're looking on the side of the fence that says, if I have. If someone is so crass to think that if I have an Obama mask that I'm for slavery or that I hate black people or something, that has to be the most ridiculous politically correct sort of assumption about the world that I've probably ever heard in my life.
It's a harmless gag. And the fact that we're even talking about it, who's ever on the other side of the transaction, whoever it does offend is RAC. Probably a racist bigot. Because if you can do it for a white president, why can't you do it for presidents? He's not totally black, his mother was white. So would he be called a white black president? Brian, as they said in the George Zimmerman trial, I think if we take that motif. Bill, he was that motif. Brian, mostly white. Zimmerman was mostly white because he only had a Hispanic mom. Mr. Zimmerman was mostly white. Then if you keep with that train of thoughts, right? It's Bill, I don't even know how we talk this way. Brian, then he would say, yes, mostly white, if that's the motif. Bill, so yeah, I guess it wouldn't even be anything right. It's peace. For president, mostly white, then it really wouldn't be even anything racial. But I think it must be something racial because if it's good enough for fun. Presidents are the butt of humor by, not even, their opposing political side but by everybody, right? It's just part of our nations. You go back and look at even some of the early political contests back when our country was young. And people made fun of the candidates. They made fun of each other. I don't think. And I'm not particularly a big George W. Bush fan. In a lot of ways, I think he was pretty much a statist for the most part. But just George W. Bush, the man, I don't. Just think about how he was lampooned at all of the. Brian, sure. Bill, media events and stuff. What do they call the event that Ozzy Osbourne happens to? Brian, yeah, the White House Press Correspondents' Center. Bill, just think how he was just hammered and his wife. The things that were said about these people were unbelievable. But if somebody, a rodeo clown or a dummy had a Bush mask on and bull ran over it, no one would think of it. And I bet you George W. Bush would have thought that was funny, too. Because he wasn't full of himself and he just wouldn't have thought that. Brian, that's a great point. Let me ask you, shouldn't we elect politicians whose skin is thick enough to withstand our First Amendment right to free speech? Bill, a whole new category of hate speech, Brian. You've just touched on something, thin-skinned. What if I'm thin-skinned? Then I'm thin-skinned, then I'm hurt. What happens when people get hurt? We need sensitivity training. I wish George Carlin was around to talk about sensitivity training, right? What would he do with that? Brian, right. Right. Bill, he did a lot of fun with that. Brian, well, I'm in hopes that the people that are going to be outraged or outraged. I'm in hopes that the President Obama look at it and goes, do you really think I care? I mean, I'm in hopes. Bill, and hopefully, he doesn't care. Brian, I hope he doesn't care. I hope he goes, look, like whatever. If you can't laugh at yourself, if your skin is that thin, the last position you need to hold, I would think, is Commander-in-Chief. But I'd tell you, Bill. I'm thinking back to the movie, I believe it was V is for Vendetta. Remember the movie with the mask? And they make fun of the political leader at the time. They have them on the stage. Running around to an old Benny Hill. Bill, Benny Hill, yes. Brian, a Benny Hill. Da 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 tenada da da tenada da da tena. And he's running around the stage. Well, later in the movie, this guy gets knocked over the head. The secret police take him out and kill him. So have we really deteriorated in our country to such a degree? Now, you could argue if he had just worn the mask and not suggested that President Obama will be subject to our version of Barcelona and the running with the bulls. I guess you could say, well, because it talked about being run down by a bull that could be construed in some ways a threat against the chief executive. I guess, you could have people argue if we took their side. It's a lot like yelling fire in a crowded theater. But if you take that portion of our discussion away, don't we have the First Amendment right to put on a mask anymore? It's not like the guy was walking into the Federal Reserve and everyone says, well, you need to have respect for the office. Yeah, but what about Dana Carvey? If you ever. Do you remember Saturday Night Live? Remember Dana Carvey, when he wasn't absolutely killing audiences with Ross Perot? Remember that? Let me tell you this about that. Bill, and he did. Brian, but Dana Carvey. Bill, he did W's father when he did the 1000 points of live thing. If you remember that. Not going to. Remember all that? Brian, why could? Bill, that was hilarious. Brian, that was fantastic.
Bill, and no one thought anything of it.
Brian, so have we really deteriorated to such a degree that? And that's why I say I'm confident President Obama has a thick enough skin to go. Well, probably won't show that in my reel of home movies. But I got bigger fish to fry than a rodeo clown who wearing the mask.
Bill, do you think it's easier just to people that are around him?
So let's talk about the people surrounding the president, and that goes from inner circle until a little bit of a larger circle. So you could even say, what's that base look like? And I think when you talk about his base, you have everything there. And again, let's pretend that he's a straight-up guy and that it doesn't bother him. His base is full of folks that believe all different kinds of things. So there's a spectrum there, right?
Brian, sure.
Bill, it moves from way. What's in the? These people, this clown should be investigated. But I'm talking about a general, so. I think that base is hypersensitive to racial issues and they're in a position of political power to do something about it.
Brian, but investigating. I mean, investigating it. Remember, when we throw the I word around, when we throw the word investigated around, it means money. You're going to hire someone, right? The government, the state government, the federal government is going to pay someone to do this investigation. So what are we really? What are they going to investigate them for?
Bill, here's what. Here's what it is about, and I'm thinking, maybe in some sense or I'm not maybe playing that President Obama is just a bystander on it. I think what's. If you have an Alinsky perception, if you do think the Alinsky model is something that is operative in this administration, then you say, anytime there's an opportunity for conflict to go almost go back to Roman Manuel's comment, then that needs to be maximized. If there's a black-white issue, if there's a rich-poor issue, if there's a class issue of any kind, it needs to be heightened and poked with a stick and exacerbated so that it can be used for political, for. So that the pendulum when it swings back which used to excite your base. It's about exciting your base. His base, as I said, even if you said that he was straight up the middle, his base is full of a lot crazy people in my opinion. So that's what to me is all about. It empowers guys like we'd been. You know, you had your little rant on.
Brian, that invitation is still open for.
Bill, Al Sharpton.
Brian, Reverend Jackson.
Reverend Sharpton.
Bill, you can even bring to one of Raleigh on the show with him.
Brian, yes. She's making the news again and again.
Bill, she's back on the news. These people are frauds. They're frauds. And this use these kind of things to really encourage what we're talking about. The kind of things that we want to mend. I think Christianity is supposed to mend problems. If we're going to create situations, where there is a warfare of kind, what I think Christianity does so well is heal those wounds, right? Heal the wounds.
Brian, sure.
Bill, if there's
somebody. If there's feeling assertive. If there's people in our family sometimes, we all work together. You know, the heights. So there's feelings hurt. And what's better than saying, I'm sorry. So if there's feelings hurt, I think you go and say, hey, I'm sorry. We certainly meant nothing of this.
Brian, right.
Bill, then it is over. It doesn't become investigations which become part of the news cycle perpetuated by MSNBC and NBC especially and most of the mainland people. So, it just becomes part of the continuing news cycle, on and on and on. Pretty soon you're going to have Sharpton and the Jackson family, whether they're, hopefully they're out of jail and they can march. Whether you get a bunch of people and you start marching, right? Because you want to. You want to create some kind of political sneakiness for yourself.
Brian, so, again, if that's going to be the case, then there's no longer and like this isn't going to come as a surprise to any of our listeners. There's no longer a petition to the First Amendment right to really. You know, even if it express how you feel or even don a mask.
Bill,
well, President Obama certainly is someone that feels like the Constitution is not fixed. In other words, he is someone back to our presuppositions, Brian. He is someone that thinks that the Constitution is always changing and moving and up to whatever sort of modern glasses you want to wear or lens you want to wear when investigating it. You should be able to change it. It's plastic, it's pliable. It's moldable. That's his view of the Constitution. So, in line with what you're saying, it makes perfect sense. So you can go on Amazon and buy any of these presidential masks for $10. Maybe Amazon's going to sell a bunch of masks, I don't know. And maybe other presidents will get hit by bulls or whatever, the running of the bulls. But it's easy to buy a mask. You got to be able to buy a mask and, or even use a president as a figure in it in a, you know, wear a presidential mask in a rodeo without having the odd of sensitivity training. Would you love to be at the sensitivity training class?
Brian, oh, absolutely.
Bill, would that be a blast to actually be there and hear what they say?
I mean, what do you think the instructor would going to say, you know, welcome. I'm instructor, you know, XYZ. And I? Today we're going to talk about rodeo masks and feelings. Is that?
Brian, you know, I'm trying to think back. There was a movie with Keanu Reeves, maybe Jeremy can sort this stuff. But Keanu Reeves and another big time actor where he'd play a federal agent. These other actors were bank robbers. Didn't they don different presidential masks to rob the bank? There was four of them. There was a mask.
Bill, presidents of Mount Rushmore robbed a bank.
Brian, it was a point blank or point break or cross point blank, or something. At any event, Keanu Reeves is an FBI agent that goes in. And then these guys are doing a great job of knocking off banks all dressed in presidential masks. And I'm wondering, did that imply that they were saying presidents rob banks? Is that? I mean, it may be a little more politically tongue-in-cheek than anyone else wants to get into. But it just. It's odd to me that we've deteriorated to such a degree where you can't even put on a mask anymore without losing your job.
Bill,
well, and I think what's probably the most important thing as you've got is, you always have congressional and administrative reactions to things. So they react to individual instantiations of any of that. And then you get an investigation and then you get legislation, right? Usually there's some kind of legislation that comes about from this. So, it happens and then if they can get enough of an outcry through marches and through whatever horseplay that comes out of it, then you can have legislation because people see it as, look, the public's reacting to it. When most of the reaction would be engineered reaction by the left. So they react to it. They change the laws that say, you can't do this and you can't do that. And then that becomes again, precedent for cases in the future. So then, other cases get built on that case. And it just moves on and on and on. And the implications are, as you said, the First Amendment, gone. Wiped out. That's what we're at.
Brian, well, there's also an article right now that I've come across that said, Bush rodeo clown allowed in 94. Obama clown banned forever. So there was a Bush rodeo clown in 1994.
Bill?
Yeah. Brian, that was there. And now, this guy, in addition to losing his job sensitivity training, everything else says a politicians on national media jumped all over the incident, deeming it to be inappropriate and disrespectful. My question is they're politicians. They work for us. What's inappropriate and disrespectful, I would think, would be the violation of the constitutionally protective right to free speech. That to me.
Brian, I don't hear too many people talking about that.
Bill,
I guess not. So maybe it's so far gone that most people go, ha, whatever. I wouldn't worry. I wouldn't worry about it, Brian. But you know, we get. Move on. Let's talk about anything else going on in the world. Let's talk about the second Kardashian getting a divorce now or the.
Brian, well, that's what the Jews said. A lot of Jews and Germans said that during Hitler's time because you had just an increasing amount. You know, they would say, well, that's happening to someone else. Now granted a rodeo clown saying that's only happening to a rodeo clown. But if people think in terms of only, there's two different kinds of way of thinking, I think. But the people we've talked about, philosophers have talked about, and you have sort of the Aristotelian idea of things, right? Individual instantiations of things, so then you have the more Platonic idea of the conceptualization. So there's the idea of the individual rodeo clown, this guy that we're talking about. Then there's the idea, the greater idea of the rodeo clowns in general, right? Or things in general. You mentioned it before. The other day we're talking about the mustard seed. The mustard seed's not so much about the mustard seed. So I think Americans, if we're going to learn anything from this, is we can't think about. This is not, ladies and gentlemen, this is not about a rodeo clown.
Really? And it's really not even about a president whose mother or father have different skin colors. It's not about any of that. It's about, can you wear a mask of anybody? And even if it hurts somebody's feelings, which I'm not big on trying to hurt other people's feelings just on a personal level. But at this I'm talking about what should be criminalized. What can someone? How can you order someone? Does a judge order you to go to sensitivity training before you go to? I mean, where's the authority for the sensitivity training? Does that come from the Federation of Clowns International? I think my membership ran out, so I don't know. I'm not getting the letters anymore from them. Brian, I guess here's my thing with sensitivity training. The people that are subject to sensitivity training are the ones that are so sensitive that this could be offensive, too. I think we need less sensitivity training. I think we have an entire generation of people, entire groups of people that is so overly sensitive. The last thing I would subject them to is sensitivity training. We need non-sensitivity training in a lot of ways. If your sensitive self is so sensitive, I can tell you, as a New York Irish cop, the number of times I was called a McPig would stun you. Did I ever arrest anyone for calling me a McPig? No. Did I ever arrest anyone for making the oink, oink, oink noises, pushing their fingers up their nose to make me look like a pig? Did I ever arrest someone for calling me a Mick? Did I ever do that? No. 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 The people that need the sensitivity training are the people that are so sensitive. Whatever happened to, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me? We've totally lost that. Bill, well, yeah. Brian, we've raised an entire generation of people that are so thin-skinned that the thoughts and words of another person can alter the way you feel on the inside? Bill, here's what the Irish ought to do. You just brought something to my mind. All the Irish ought to go find all of the old signs that were made that said, no Irish need apply. Brian, sure. Bill, and bring them out and then the Irish can now be a disadvantaged race because of all of the disadvantages they have. But you know what, I don't know one Irish person. We have Irish friends. You're an Irish friend. I have other Irish friends. I don't know one way of Irish people that work for us. I don't know an Irish person that's still mad about that. Because the Irish are pretty thick-skinned, for the most part. You have to be picked on by the English for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? Brian, sure. Bill, so nobody's mad at that. Everyone moves on, right? Everyone moves on. What a fascinating concept that we move on. But if the Irish, if somebody, somewhere an Irishman thought he could make money organizing people in terms of the Irish being disadvantaged, I could see that popping up. Why not? The Irish retreated terribly in this country in its earlier days. Brian, maybe you could say, well, the first Irish president was who? Kennedy? President John F. Kennedy was, I think, the first Irish. Or maybe the first Irish Catholic, or maybe the first guy. I don't know how that breaks down. Bill, sure. Brian, but I guess for me, when I hear sensitivity training, I go, yeah, I'm all over it. There's an entire group of people that are way too sensitive and need to get a grip. So maybe that's the sensitivity training they're referencing because I don't get it. Bill, remember the old days in the Marines? You like it here, don't you know? I mean if you're a little too sensitive, what was the sort of antidote for being sensitive? Oh, I don't know. Brian, blanket party? Bill, we're working in the mess hall over the weekend or doing extra push-ups or where you clean a permanently train orderly as Andy Griffith does. Brian, sure. Bill, in no time for sergeants, whatever. You quickly ditched that sensitivity. And your drill sergeant was in charge of making sure that your skin got thicker and thicker and thicker. That made the Marines great, right? Didn't that? Brian, sure. Bill, in this country, didn't that make the Marines great and in the other forms of our enlisted men that beginning period? Why do you need a boot camp? Because everybody's skin is too thin, right? You can't go into battle with thin skin. Brian, I'm with you. Bill, so you get somebody who whips a guy into shape. We need as a nation. We need somebody. God will probably do this for us if we don't do it ourselves. Somebody needs to whip us into shape to get us, to get our thin skin to be replaced by a little more callous.
Brian, a little more callous. Put the B in backbone. All right, I can't think of a better idea to leave with, Bill. So I want to go ahead and start wrapping up the show a little bit. Anything else you'd like to add before we go?
Bill, no. Just our apologies for a little bit of a shorter show today. We didn't have time. We're working on a lot of double secret projects that we're going to be introducing shortly, so.
Brian, all right. Sensitivity training herein. Crosstalk 026.
Bill, we're going to have some sessions here.
Yeah. Brian, all right, ladies and gentlemen, as Mr. Hyde said, we apologize for the brief 30-minute show this week. But we promise we'll make it up to you the next time. We've got some really cool things in the pipe, if I'm allowed to still say that. We got some really cool things in the pipe. But Bill also wanted me to thank you on behalf of everyone here at Solutions from Science, the parent company of Off the Grid News and as he mentioned before, Heirloom Cafe, Heirloom Market. If you're in the area, swing by. We want to thank you for giving us 30 minutes of your time. Also, remind you please reach out on Facebook, on Twitter. I know Jeremy is out there all the time, looking at your comments, your tweets, your Facebook things. And we use those comments to go ahead and build material for our future shows. So thank you so very much. Keep the comments coming. Until next time, have a great week.